Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Our guest is New York State Assemblyman Keith Wright, a Democrat who was first elected to the legislature in 1992. Wright, who represents the 70th District, was recently named co-chair of the New York State Democratic Committee alongside Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner. Assemblyman Keith Wright, what a great pleasure to have you with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Alan.
We grew up as almost next-door neighbors, it now turns out. And so I guess I wanted to ask you, first of all, what does the Democratic chairman do?
Well, as I was just appointed last Tuesday by Governor Cuomo, and as much as I can discern right now, a chairman of the state Democratic Party is to make sure that Democrats get elected from all corners of the state of New York. Now, that being said, we also have to ensure and make sure that our president, Barack Obama, gets reelected not only in the state of New York, not only win, but make sure that he has a mandate, a strong mandate from the state of New York. And certainly we have to ensure that our Senator Kirsten Gillibrand gets elected as well.
So I've been talking to, over the months, your counterpart in the Republican Party.
Who is that?
And
I have no idea who that is.
And Nixon's son-in-law. Oh. I'll give you a hint. What I wanted to ask you was this. I've had the feeling for a while that if Obama does very well in New York State, and I think he will, he could bring a lot of people with him,
a lot of Democrats
with him in this year. Certainly. And I'm wondering whether I'm off base on that. He seems to think not. I think so.
I think you're absolutely correct. If you recall, the Republicans were very, very concerned, especially during the height or the ascension of Newt Gingrich when he was winning certain primaries, and also, what were those other people's names? I've forgotten their names already, but certainly Newt Gingrich, when they thought that he would become the standard bearer of the party. Cox and a few other folks were getting very, very worried.
So you did know who Cox was.
Yeah, they did not want him to become the standard bearer. And but now that it is Mitt Romney, who they thought would do a little better, but there's no doubt that the standard bearer of whatever party certainly will bring, especially if that person is victorious, will have coattails and bring other people who are lower down on the ballot, i.e. assembly people or state senators, that the president of the United States, Barack Obama, will certainly bring other Democrats with him to victory.
So let me ask you this. There's only one vote difference now in the state Senate. Is there a chance that the state Senate will go Democratic?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. There is a real chance that it could go. And especially in light of some of the positions that they've been taking, i.e. just recently on minimum wage, the state Senate Republicans have refused to bring that issue to the floor. No matter what you feel, I debated the bill in the assembly, and it just boggled my mind some of the verbiage that was coming out of the mouths of some of our assembly Republicans, that they have to protect business. Nothing about the people that are making minimum wage. Now, those folks that are actually making minimum wage, maybe about 300,000-400,000 folks in the state of New York. Those folks are making the equivalent of $15,000 a year at $7.50 an hour. Excuse me, $7.25 an hour. Now, what we wanted to do and what we want to do is to raise that figure up to $8.50 an hour.
Not a whole hell of a lot.
And not a hell of a lot. And index it to the rate of inflation. Now, if we'd done that back in 2007, I think the minimum wage would now be somewhere in the neighborhood of $10.75 an hour. Not a lot of money as well. During the debate, I would hear folks saying, well, you know, if we raise the minimum wage, it's going to be a job killer. It's going to hurt the economy. Well, studies have proven that if you raise the minimum wage, those folks on the lower rungs of the economic ladder, once they get an influx of capital, once they get a raise in pay, they will actually spend their money quicker.
Everyone agrees. Those guys who have $1 billion in the bank.
Yeah, well the banks, to. and that's a great point, because the banks have been bailed out. The banks have been bailed out. But in order to revitalize an economy, you have to spend money. Everyone is in agreement with that. The banks have not been spending the money. They've been holding on to their money. Those folks on the lowest rungs of the economic ladder will spend their money right away for things that they need. I can only imagine what the debate would sound like over in the New York State Senate. It sounded like they wanted to protect small business and not help people who are actually struggling and starving and trying to make ends meet here in the state of New York.
Assemblyman Keith Wright, chairman of the state Democratic Party. Here's a curveball for you. Were you concerned when the man who appointed you didn't say, okay, we're going to shove this thing through because I have an awful lot of clout with the Republicans, we'll make them do it?
Was I concerned? Governor Cuomo is in full support of raising.
But not
of raising,
this year, he says.
Of raising the minimum wage. Listen. No one is ever going to be in total lockstep. The governor's job is to lead this state and to do what he thinks is in the best interest of this state. And he's doing a fabulous job in terms of doing that.
72% approval.
He's doing a fabulous job. I mean, there's no one that can, if you want to take issue with him, I think he's done a fabulous job in terms of leading the state as this governor. Now, is he in agreement with the minimum wage? Yes, he is. Has he said maybe not this year? I don't know if he said that or not, but you would know better than I. But it's something that I believe in deeply, and I think the Democratic Party believes in deeply, and it's something that I'm optimistic that will eventually come about this year.
So just pushing on that theme for a moment, under Sheldon Silver, the Democrats in the Assembly are very progressive. I mean, they are people who think in terms of people, in my mind, and think like the minimum wage. There have been rumors that the governor is a little bit more conservative in his approach and his friendship with the state Senate. So does this put you in a bad spot between the speaker and the governor?
No, not at all. Listen, let me just say this. I don't even know if you could really put a label on our governor. I'm sure people have tried to label me over the years in all sorts of ways. But I would like to think that our governor is a pragmatic elected official, probably one of the most pragmatic elected officials that I've ever seen and been around. So I don't even know if you can really put a label on this governor. He is someone that has provided pragmatic leadership. You know, he's only been governor, let's not forget, for 2 years.
Sure.
He's only been governor for 2 years. It seems like he's been governor for like a couple of decades in actuality. And am I in a difficult spot? No, I'm not. I'm just, all I know how to be is me.
How did it come about? How did you hear he was going to name you the Democratic chairman?
The governor is someone that is always thinking at least two and three steps ahead of a lot of folks. He called me down into his office, and we had a discussion just about things, the legislature, various issues. And he stated that, he asked, Keith, would you lead the Democratic Party in the state of New York?
Were you surprised?
Absolutely. But it's when the governor asks you to serve.
Yeah, you do it.
You don't say no.
Sure.
You say yes.
Sure.
You say yes. Now, and actually, I'm very humbled that he's asked me to do that. You have to remember that we as elected officials, our most trusted mechanisms are the political apparatus that helps us get elected and helps us run. back in Harlem, I have a political club. When it's time for re-election and such, I depend on them to help me get the signatures and help me get the mechanics of getting elected. So, and I only bring in my most trusted people in that. So I'm humbled by the trust that he's put into me, and certainly I'm going to work as hard as I can, and I'm sure Mayor Stephanie Miner from Syracuse, a fabulous woman who's shown great leadership in Syracuse. Very down-to-earth woman. I'm so happy that she was named that we're co-chairs because she has a great sense of humor. And the only thing that I asked Mayor Stephanie Miner is that, could we have some fun when we do this? And she has said yes, and hopefully we can have some fun while I'm in upstate New York, traveling new parts of the state that I've never traveled in before. I'm going to county fairs and petting some pigs and such, and maybe she can enlighten me how to do those things.
Now, did you go to Shelley Silver and say, the governor's asked me to do this, I just wanted to check in with you?
I did not.
Uh-huh. That's the end of that question.
I did not.
Okay. Let me go to the question, some of the substantive questions that are facing New York right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is hydrofracking.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? What are you thinking is going to happen here?
Well, I don't know, and certainly as a assembly person from New York City, I've heard both sides. I remember being up in Ithaca, New York, last year, taking a course at Cornell. Since I'm chair of the Labor Committee, I figured I would take a few days with my staff to get trained, if you will, by the School of Labor Relations.
My son Jonas graduated.
The best of the best. And I know that those folks in Ithaca are rabid regarding this hydrofracking issue. Also looking at the other side and certainly... so I've really formulated no real opinion on this. Certainly, I've looked at both the pros and the cons of it, and I'll still be looking at it.
Talk to me. You mentioned Senator Gillibrand's reelection.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in doubt, is it? I mean, that's certainly not in doubt.
Listen, let me just tell you one thing, Alan.
About politics.
Every election, as far as I'm concerned, there's always some doubt. Once you start getting complacent, once you start getting cocky, once you feel as if there's no competition, that's when you lose. And so, what is it? Satchel Paige said, don't look behind you because someone may be gaining on you. So you just have to run to win no matter what the race is.
Keith Wright, you went to the Ethical Culture School.
I did.
There are people who think that the legislature is not an ethical place. What do you think?
Well, the Ethical Culture School and the ethics of the legislature are two different things. I actually think the legislature is one of the greatest places in the world. I've been privileged in order to serve there with some of the greatest people that I've had the occasion to meet. I mean, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. People get into public service because they have an innate sense that they want to serve their communities, whether you agree with them philosophically or not. But they have this sense in them that they want to make their communities a better place. But how you go about doing that is two different things. I think that, I've had the occasion to serve with some very ethical people, people that that just, want their community to be a better place. And
what about the ones who don't? I mean, I'm not.
You're going to find bad apples and bad actors no matter where you go. I would venture to say you may even find some in this studio somewhere. I don't know. But you will find bad actors wherever you go. And those people have been found out and they have been dealt with. And some of them have been punished harshly. And then you move on and you continue with your job.
Who in the studio?
I don't know.
Okay, I wanted to ask you the recent redistricting that we went through. Did you feel that this was done in a fair way? My sense of things was that, and my position is no secret, that there should have been an outside group who were doing this. And I just wondered whether or not, you have any problems with the way this one was done.
Oh, I had a lot of problems with it. I thought that, and I'm not necessarily advocating, I'm not one of those that have advocated for an outside group at all. I felt that the legislature had the capacity to draw lines in a fair manner. The will was not there. There was no political will. I'm talking specifically about congressional lines. I thought the Senate lines were extremely partisan in a lot of ways. But, you know, we could have worked those out. Now, I had occasion to see some of these lines that were drawn by the so-called outside groups. I thought those lines were horrible. Just in terms of my district alone, they had me going on down to Central Park West, down into the 80s. And not that there would be anything wrong with that, but they were just drawn, it seemed, willy-nilly and with no sense of communities of interests, no sense of historical boundaries and what have you. Not that my district stayed exactly the same, but and I certainly have picked up new people, but I just thought that, you know, you got to be careful of reform. And I've been looked at as a reformer over the years, but you have to be cool with reform because you don't want to create deform.
What about allowing the Senate leadership, for example, as you just indicated, to draw their own lines? I've often thought that's like letting Steinbrenner umpire the Yankee games. I've used that line a few times.
What's wrong with that?
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay, then letting the opposing manager.
Well, as I said, the Senate lines, I thought that they just went absolutely overboard with some of their lines that they drew. And they quickly readjusted to a certain extent. But they actually pitted Democrats. It was just so obvious. They pitted Democrats against Democrats. And in particular, they were the Democrats that weren't really held in high favor of those Senate Republicans, those Democrats that were really thorns in their side. They pitted those Democrats against one another.
And yet those Republicans all signed a petition advanced by Mayor Koch because I assume that they thought they were going to lose and they were going to be in the minority, signed a petition. The Senate Republicans, mm-hmm. saying they would adhere to some kind of a fairer system. Mm-hmm. And then once they won by one vote, they turned their backs. What do you think of that? That doesn't bring a sense of ethical standards to our legislature.
Well, I cannot speak for the Senate Republicans, nor would I ever try to. That's why generally I try not to sign these petitions because then you're held. I mean, but your sign is
you're. But I'm giving you a softball here.
No, I got
and
you.
You're the chair of the Democratic Party, and here these guys behave in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, there will be the people who call me up and say, why don't you ask him about the Democrats doing the same thing? But in this case, the Democrats are going to win no matter what. The Republicans, literally, by the way they draw the lines, could affect the way in which the control of the Senate goes.
No, listen, if they sign those questionnaires, then they should have, I guess, been held responsible
well,
for.
Well, Koch said he went around. He told me. He said, I went around. I yelled, liar, liar, pants on
fire. I remember he did when he said that. Yes. So I guess it scared those Republicans, though, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. It must have. Choice was liar, liar, pants on fire, or you're out of office. So they chose to remain in office.
That's right. I'm
so terribly surprised in this thing. So but tell me about the campaign, the Romney-Obama campaign in New York. What's that going to look like?
I don't know. I suspect that I don't think Romney would. I really don't see him mounting a vigorous campaign. I don't see that at all. I think he probably just will come in here to he'll make some, I guess, some cursory visits.
But a lot of money in New York, isn't there?
A lot of money. He'll come in to try and raise some money.
Yeah.
I just saw something where he was appearing with Rudy Giuliani somewhere, and but I don't think he'll be mounting a vigorous campaign in New York. I think New Yorkers are overwhelmingly in favor of reelecting our president. So I think you'll probably see Romney more in those swing states or those other states where he thinks that he can get some political traction.
You know, listening to you, you have a remarkable, wonderful radio voice.
Oh, well, have me on. I'll guest host for you anytime you wish.
You absolutely do. And so I guess the question is this. Will you have to go around and raise money for people with that remarkable voice of yours?
Well, I'm always willing to try. Certainly, I don't think I've really raised a whole lot of money for myself, but you can always do more for other people than you can do for yourself.
You know, in teaching political science for 103 years, I remember two terms which were in the tank and off the hook. In the tank means, hey, Shelley, they're killing me on this. I can't vote with you. And Shelley says, no, your people don't even know who you are. You're in the tank. Or you're in a marginal district, you're off the hook. Is there any legitimacy to that concept?
I don't know. Listen, as I said, people, I think, vote the best way that they think is best that will affect the people that they represent. Has the speaker on occasion tried to twist some arms and get some votes for
twist if not broken.
Twist if not broken on occasion with some folks to try and get some votes for a particular issue? The answer is yes, of course. That's what speakers do. But certainly, by and large, I think most of the folks in the legislature are great, great folks who, when they do vote, they vote in terms of trying to do what's best for the people in their districts.
So how will you split this role with Ms. Miner?
I have no idea. We have 62 counties in the state of New York. I guess on first blush, we may look at 31 and 31. I don't know. Certainly, I'm not immune or adverse to going to upstate New York, I'm sure. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward. I told my wife that we'll probably have to take our summer vacation in upstate New York, going throughout the Adirondacks or something. And she was excited about that because, then I had to hear that I don't take her too many places anymore. But I would venture to say that Stephanie Miner and myself would be traveling the state together on some occasions. I may hit some places that she may not be able to make. That's the least of my worries. And because I think we're going to have a very cooperative relationship. And certainly what's good for upstate is certainly good for downstate. And I don't look at it as being any sort of competition. I think we're both we have the ultimate goals of the Democratic Party and Governor Cuomo in mind and trying to make sure that we elect as many Democrats as possible.
Your predecessor, of course, Jay Jacobs, is leaving. He's doing it very graciously.
Wonderful man.
Yes, and I'm wondering how, just in the right season, because as you know, he owns summer camps.
Yes.
So it's just perfect. But the question is there a handoff of some kind? Has he taken any time to tell you what he did and what
Well, you know what? When I first met Jay Jacobs, I had become the county leader of New York County. I had taken over the county reins from a guy named Herman Denny Farrell, who had been the county leader for 28 years.
Our very good friend.
And a great man, great man. And Jay Jacobs, he became chair of the state Democratic Party then, and we liked each other right away. That relationship is continuing. Jay is probably one of the classiest individuals that I've ever met in political life. Heart is in the right place, works extremely hard. We have talked continuously during his tenure as state chair. We're still talking continuously, and I'm also talking to Judith Hope and June O'Neill as well. Because, as I said, I was named last Tuesday, and quite frankly, I'm trying to find out what to do. As Robert Redford said in that movie, The Candidate,
now,
after he got elected, I'm saying, now what do we do now? What do I do now?
Yeah.
And so, you know, to answer those questions, you have to ask the experts. Jay Jacobs is one of those experts, as is Judith Hope and as is June.
Well, we hope this is the first time you will come on before these microphones and talk to all of us. We loved having you here. Our guest on the Capital Connection has been New York State Assemblyman Keith Wright. the new co-chair of the State Democratic Committee. Keith Wright, what a pleasure to have you with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I look forward to coming back anytime you wish.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.